Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Hey there, Driven Woman, and welcome back. This is a solo episode. If you are new to the Driven Woman podcast, what that means is it's just me. No guest, no client success story, just pure DW. You know, I had already started the podcast before I realized that Driven Woman and Diane Wingert were the same initials. How awesome is that? Well, today our topic is negative self-talk. It doesn't sound very fun. It doesn't sound very sexy, but man, oh man, is it important. My work as a business mindset coach is half skills and half literally helping my clients change the way they think about themselves, specifically what they believe they're capable of and what they will attempt to do in their business based on what they believe they're capable of. The interesting thing about what we think we are capable of is in almost every case, it is based on outdated information. If you were going to write an article or interview someone important or even show up and participate at a meeting, you would never in a million years show up with outdated information. Would you? I know I wouldn't. And yet, we rely on outdated information in the way we talk to ourselves and talk about ourselves every single day, all day long. You've probably read the same statistics that I have, and I have no idea whatsoever how anyone collected this, but it is said that the average person thinks somewhere between 60,000 and 90,000 thoughts a day. And I'm sure mine's probably more like 120 plus range. I do a lot of thinking, but most of the thoughts we think are repeat. We are literally thinking the same thoughts today that we thought yesterday and the day before that and the month before that and the year before that and the decade before that. They're old, recycled thoughts that just show up automatically in our brain with no effort. So before we can actually start talking today about these negative thoughts that plague so many brilliant women I know, including myself, and how to get rid of them, we need to first talk a little bit about how the brain actually works. So for advanced students of personal growth and how the brain works, this may be a review for you. For others, this will literally blow your mind. So, how the brain actually works, starting with the fact that we are born, think about this, we are born with a brain that actually has to see us through, on average, 80 years. Let's just say the average human lifespan is 80 years. So the brain you are born with has got to last you about 80 years. And unlike any computer or tablet or even your smartphone, you never get an update. You never get an upgrade. You can't buy more memory. You can't buy a faster processor. What you get is what you get. Now, if you've never thought about that, how is it possible for that brain to last 80 years without an upgrade? I'll tell you how. The brain is really, really good at the way it works. Identifying, labeling, categorizing, processing, and storing information. And it does this very efficiently so that it can keep on packing in new information for 80 years without any updates or upgrades. Now, when you're born, there's nothing in there. It is literally what I like to say, an empty field of fertile soil. Newborn baby isn't thinking about anything. And from the moment of birth and we start to become aware of ourselves and those around us, we are listening. We don't even know what we're hearing at first, but that doesn't mean the brain isn't recording information. And for the next few years, from birth to about age 7, we are constantly taking in information, much of which is things that are said to us and things that are said about us within our hearing. And that forms the basis of who we think we are. Now, the fascinating thing about this is even with the most loving, intelligent, well-meaning parents, mistakes are going to be made. Errors are going to be made about who the child is. Maybe they'll say, you're the pretty one, or you're the smart one, or you're the athletic one, or you're the shy one, or you're the funny one. But you will start hearing things said to you and about you by the adults in your life from a very early age. And that fertile soil is just going to take those thought seeds right in, and they're going to become part of your self-concept. So you literally are born not knowing who you are, and you are told who you are by some well-meaning, some not so well-meaning people in your life. And as all humans are fallible, and most of them are operating on thoughts about who they are that were given to them by their parents and so on, all the way back to the cave days, it's really kind of scary when you think about the fact that nobody actually knows who they are. They know who they were told they were. And once those seeds have been planted in your little baby brain and your little toddler and preschooler and on up to school age brain, you just think, okay, if somebody said I'm stupid, then I must be stupid. And if more than one person said it, like a parent and a teacher, you will not even question it. Smart kids will start to notice from a very early age when they're different from the other kids around them. Taller, shorter, fatter, skinnier, faster in the way they think, slower in the way they think, different in the way they process. Some kids are more popular, some kids are more reserved, and all of those things start to get planted as well. Well, that's the concept of the empty field. Then there's neural pathways. Neural pathways are actual physical structures in your brain that you start creating automatically from a very early age. They're like shortcuts. And every brain makes these shortcuts, aka neural pathways, because we keep taking in new information and we keep processing existing information for 80 years again without ever getting an update or an upgrade. So these neural pathways are shortcuts. You can think of it as like default settings or autopilot settings. So once you've thought a number of times, I'm dumb, I'm slow, I'm lazy, I'm whatever, starting to understand the self-talk, you know, backstory, all of that just goes on autopilot. And whenever you're put in a situation that is similar to one where you had those thoughts, like the classroom or the home or the playground at school, those thoughts are going to fire up automatically with no effort on your part. And after a few hundred or a few thousand times of thinking those same thoughts, you will not question them if you ever did to begin with. And this forms the basis of negative self-talk, meaning we learned to think negative thoughts about ourselves at an age when we didn't question anything that was being said to us. Then the brain takes over and does what the brain does best, saving space, creating shortcuts, and those thoughts just keep showing up. The brain will always take the path of least effort because it is a greedy little calorie hog. Your brain only weighs about 3 pounds, and yet it consumes about 25% of the calories that your entire being needs to operate on a daily basis. So it is efficient in that it has a lot to process and store in a very small space, but it really works hard. when it consumes that many calories. So your brain will always choose the path of least effort. It is easier for the brain for you to keep on thinking whatever you've been thinking, however wrong, however painful, however inaccurate it may be, your brain will keep on thinking it because it will always follow the path of least effort. Sometimes when I've had a particularly strenuous coaching call with one of my clients, and I don't want to give you the wrong impression, they're not all strenuous. Some of them are freaking hilarious, and we laugh our asses off while doing the work. But sometimes our brain puts up a little bit more of a fight. We want to change the way we think. We are committed to changing the way we think. But the brain is a lazy mofo. It will always choose the path of least effort, and it will always want you to keep on thinking whatever you're thinking, no matter how miserable those thoughts might make you. Nothing's wrong. You're not self-sabotaging. You don't hate yourself. It's just the brain doing what the brain does. One other thing I want to mention about how the brain works. A lot of people think there's a difference between thoughts and beliefs. I do not. I think thoughts are just what the brain does. If we are conscious, we are having thoughts. We even have thoughts when we're asleep. Those are called dreams. The human brain is always thinking. If you are a person with a busy brain, like me, it feels like you're thinking too much all the time. And that can cause anxiety and self-doubt and second-guessing and all kinds of other fuckery that really slows your roll and makes life so much more difficult than it needs to be. But the average brain is always thinking, even when we are asleep, and will continue thinking until we die. As far as we know, that's the end of it. I don't know if there's thinking after death. If you happen to know about that, you definitely want to DM me on Instagram because I would love to talk about that. It'd be so fascinating. But there's no difference really between thoughts and beliefs. Beliefs are only thoughts that have an emotional charge attached to them and that we feel particularly attached to. You can also think of beliefs as thoughts that we have a lot more practice with or a lot more experience with. But the bottom line is a thought is a thought is a thought. And a belief is just a thought that we're attached to, that we've got some of our identity wrapped up in, and that generates a lot of emotion when it's challenged. And you can easily see in issues like religion and politics and things going on in the world around us, how beliefs can be very emotional for people. Now, most of us are thinking more negative than positive about ourselves. And this is one other little fact about how the brain works that you really need to know so that you can get off your own case and stop hating on yourself for your negative self-talk. Because talk about adding insult to injury. You are already under the influence of negative self-talk, and now you're talking shit to yourself about the fact that you're talking shit to yourself. Everybody does it. Everybody. I'm sure Tony Robbins even does it. If he happens to be listening, that would be kind of cool. And he can debate that with me if he wants. But it is normal for us to pay more attention to negative thoughts than to positive ones. It's kind of shitty, but at the same time, it completely makes sense. And let me explain. Back in the day, when we were roaming the earth and living in caves and learning how to make tools and, you know, fight woolly mammoths and so forth, the brain is wired with a bias towards the negative. And this is for self-preservation. There's a reason we're still here in spite of all the mistakes we make as humans, in spite of all the ways we're destroying the planet and each other. The negativity bias means that every single human actually pays more attention to what's wrong than what's right. And it's not just you. It's not just people that have mental health problems. Every human does this. We pay more attention when we walk in a room, for example. You might walk into a room, you might walk into a museum and see beautiful works of art. If one of them happens to be a little teeny bit crooked on the wall, which is hard to imagine because they have people watching for things like that, but let's just say theoretically, a beautiful painting is a teeny bit crooked on the wall, your eye and your mind will zero in on that. If you are writing a blog post or a book chapter or a best-selling book, the errors, the mistakes, the typos will seem so much more valid and important. If you have a podcast like this one and you mostly get 5-star reviews, which I mostly do, the one that's going to jump off the page at me is going to be the person who's critical. This is just how the mind works. And it's actually intentional to be that way because let's say we're back in the cave days and you're foraging for twigs and nuts and berries, looking for stuff to eat until you can find something more substantial. If you eat a handful of berries and they make you violently ill, you need to remember what those berries look like so that you don't eat them the next time you come across that kind of berry. So negative experiences, especially those that are associated with any kind of a traumatic or unpleasant outcome, are going to burn themselves into your brain. Now, people who have a trauma history, and I'm sure some percentage of people listening to this podcast have a trauma history. I have a trauma history. It can take a lot of work to dispel a pervasive amount of negative thoughts from dominating your self-talk and dominating your day, because trauma thoughts are really sticky and really difficult to get rid of. And that may require therapeutic effort. But if your brain happens to pay more attention, if you are paying more attention to the times that you're criticized than the times that you're praised, the times when people find fault with you instead of when people think you're amazing, if you even deflect compliments and try to talk people out of thinking well of you, you're normal. That's just the way the brain works. Now, it's not fun. It doesn't feel great. And if we do not learn to be critical of the thoughts that we are thinking, we will continue thinking them. Almost every bold, brave, brilliant, badass woman I have ever met will admit to having negative self-talk. Some of them, it's occasional, and others, it is literally constant. Negative self-talk is something that you don't actually have to have a shitty life to have negative self-talk. You can have an amazing life and still be plagued by negative self-talk. And because most people don't question their negative self-talk, they think that they are actually just narrating reality. What I like to say is that most of us believe our self-talk so completely and without any reservation whatsoever, you could probably pass a lie detector test narrating your negative self-talk. It is that believable to us. Why do we believe it? We're just used to believing it. It seems real and irrefutable because it just shows up in our brains automatically with no effort. And if this is what I'm thinking, and this is what I've been thinking, and this is what I keep thinking, even when I don't want to, it must be true, right? Except that it's not. It's not. And it probably never was. It's probably something that was said to you or about you a long time ago, even if you don't remember. By now, you just keep thinking it. What I tell my clients is, no matter what you're thinking or how long you've been thinking it, if it does not serve you now, it actually makes no difference if it was true and isn't now, or if it was never true. The only criterion that I think matters is, does your self-talk serve you now? And if it does not serve you, if it interferes with what you want to do and how you want to feel in your life, it has got to change. And here's the good news. It's not easy to change your self-talk, but it is simple. So we're going to take a little break, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to tell you exactly what I teach my clients and what I practice in my own life. Stay tuned. Hey there, it's Diane. Whether you are a brand new listener or have been with me from the beginning, I want to let you know how much I appreciate that you take the time out of your week to listen to the Driven Woman podcast. I love knowing that there are women all over the world whose lives are being changed for the better simply by listening to our solo episodes, guest expert interviews, and client success stories. Some of them tell me so in podcast reviews, in DMs on Instagram, and by email. And I love, love, love hearing from them. But you know, for many of us, we are not going to be able to reach our most important goals without guidance, support, and accountability. The kind you get from an expert coach who truly understands what it's like to build a business, even though you're afraid, even though you're uncertain, even though you don't have it all figured out, because that coach has done it themselves and helped other people as well. So whether one-to-one coaching is what's right for you because you want a highly customized approach, or you really prefer to learn and grow and be challenged as part of a group, I've got you. There are links in the show notes. You can let me know that you're interested and we will take the next step together. I promise I will not invite you to work with me unless I think you're ready, unless I think I'm the right coach for you, and unless I am 100% confident that we can blow your mind and rock your world together, because that is the only kind of outcomes that I am interested in creating. So let me know if that sounds right for you. I just wanted to make sure that you knew there is more available to you than just listening to this podcast. But that being said, I'm so glad you're here. Want to know what one of my clients has to say about the experience of working with me? Have a listen to this.
Now, looking back, you know, a year from now to today, I'm a completely different person. Even, you know, from the very first day that I started to work with you, I realized things are going to be really different. I mean, actually, I know before we even spoke, when I heard you on that podcast, I thought, you know, this woman is exactly what I need. And there, honestly, I've never met anyone like you. And I'm so appreciative of everything that you've done. I mean, just sharing your experiences with everyone and being so open and honest, and just seeing you and how you interact with other people and how you share your experiences has helped in that recalibration in my own mind, because now I can accept myself for who I am and I don't have to apologize for who I am. Who I am is who I am, and I'm so, I love who I am. I'm not perfect by any means, no one is, but I'm freaking awesome.
Okay, Driven Woman, so thanks for sticking with me. We have been talking all about how the brain works and why you really shouldn't give yourself a hard time for having negative self-talk. It's just your brain. Everybody has one. They all work the same way. They pay more attention to the negative than the positive, but it's not working for you. So we're going to change it. Now, I like to think of this as thinking better thoughts. Even just changing the language, instead of saying, oh, I really have to quit this negative self-talk, I really need to stop thinking so negatively, I like to say, let's think better thoughts. You're already starting to lead your mind in a more positive direction. Now, I don't want to get confused between thinking better thoughts and positive thinking. Positive thinking, to me, it was very popular a few decades ago, and it was really along the lines of that fake it till you make it, just sort of slap a band-aid of something positive, something happy, something shiny on top of whatever shitty stuff you're actually thinking. You know, brains are not that easily fooled, and your brain is very committed to just keeping on, keeping on. If it's been thinking what it's been thinking, It's the path of least effort to keep on thinking it. So you're not fooling any brain anytime soon by slapping a positive message on top of it. When I teach my clients how to change their thoughts and think better thoughts, oftentimes it starts with asking yourself a question, because so many times we divide our life experiences into positive and negative, into good and bad. This is especially true when it comes to behavioral change. We're trying to eat less, drink less, smoke less, shop less, gossip less, swear less. I would never try to do that. But trying to get yourself to stop something because you've labeled it bad or wrong, that's really an uphill battle. So thinking better thoughts is a much easier way to go about it. And here's what I want to say about this. It's really an identity change. And I didn't quite understand this at first. I think you may know that I was a therapist for a lot of years before I became trained and certified as a coach. And one of the things that was frustrating for me as a therapist is I could teach my clients so many ways to feel better and function better. But inexplicably, many of them would just keep retreating back to what many refer to as a comfort zone, but it was definitely not comfortable until I understood the difference between comfortable and familiar. Our negative self-talk is not comfortable. And the way it makes us feel to always have those thoughts about ourselves, especially when we're trying to improve some aspect of our lives, that just sucks. It is not comfortable. What is this comfort zone everyone's talking about? There's nothing comfortable about thinking shitty thoughts about yourself. Nothing comfortable at all. I prefer to think of it as it's what's familiar. Familiar means we're used to it. And what we're used to, we will tolerate. So instead of thinking about our comfort zone, let's think instead, I'm tolerating this because it's familiar. I am tolerating this because I'm used to it. That also helps remove a little bit of the shame and the self-blame. Because a lot of people, when they first start learning about negative self-talk and they realize that there's actually something they can do about it, when they don't choose to do something about it, or they don't do something about it enough, or it's not working quickly enough, or they're not doing it consistently enough, they will blame themselves for saying, I must not care about myself enough. I don't value myself enough to do the work. Hey, you know what? Changing your mind to change your brain to change your mind is work. Your brain is a lazy mofo. It always reverts to the path of least effort. So make no mistake, it is work to change the way you think. Now, that's not to scare you off, but to set realistic expectations. Because if we think it's going to be easy and automatic and it isn't, we will blame ourselves for that too. And I do not want to be a party to that. So understand, it is simple, but not easy. And it requires a couple of things that you do on a regular basis. One, understand that thinking better thoughts is actually an identity change. You need to become the person who thinks better thoughts about themselves. Wrap your mind around that just a little. You need to become a person who thinks better thoughts about themselves. And if you are a person who has an imagination, like I happen to be one, you might even want to create an avatar of your future self. I had a client that I worked with when I was still living in LA, who we literally created like an action figure of her future self that she began to move toward intentionally in her mind. And she intentionally evolved her identity to become that action figure. She was an overthinker. She wasn't taking action because she was a perfectionist and she didn't want to make any mistakes. So she overthought things to the point that the opportunity had long since come and gone. And that caused a lot of regret, obviously. So she became the person who could act more quickly by evolving her identity and thinking better thoughts. So the three things that you are going to want to practice are, number one, permission. No one can give you permission to think better thoughts about yourself, not even me. I will encourage you, hopefully motivate you and maybe inspire you a little bit, but you must give yourself permission to think more highly of yourself. No one else can, and no one else will. And even if someone else did, if you didn't agree and give yourself permission, it wouldn't make any difference. Trust me on this one. You need to give yourself permission and believe that you deserve to think better thoughts about yourself. That's number one. Two, practice. Practice, practice, practice. Hey, whether you are trying to learn how to play a musical instrument, learn another language, or learn how to evolve your negative self-talk by thinking better thoughts about yourself, you need practice. I will link in the show notes to an app that I recommend to clients all the time. There's a free version and a paid version. The free version is enough. I know that I have mentioned this on a previous episode, but the app is called ThinkUp, and you literally record positive thoughts in your own voice and listen to them so that they are passively influencing you to hear your own voice thinking better thoughts. And I have my clients do this twice a day. So I will link to the free version of the app. You should definitely give that a try. So number one is permission. Number two is practice. And number three is patience. Listen, I am not a patient person. I'm probably one of the most impatient people I know. But the truth is, it takes time. Be patient with yourself. You have been thinking what you've been thinking for 30, 40, 50 years, that's not going to change overnight. But if you give yourself permission and you practice, 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 practice for 10 minutes twice a day. And then as you go through your day, you will begin to notice when you are reverting to your negative self-talk, you can do a pattern interrupt and insert a better thought right there on the spot. You actually will begin to evolve your self-talk much more quickly than you think. But when you are under times of stress, don't be surprised if you regress a little bit and default back to some negative self-talk. That's normal. Doesn't mean you've gone all the way back to square one. It's just a little bit of a setback. You get right back on the thinking better thoughts and you will continue to move forward. I have worked with many people who had some really malignant self-talk, and with permission, practice, and patience, they no longer think of themselves in a negative way. And I have done this work myself, so I absolutely know it works. You deserve to think better of yourself, even if you have no practice doing so, because there's no downside, my friend. No downside whatsoever. You will feel happier. You will live better. And you've got absolutely nothing to lose. So I really encourage you to give it a try and check out the ThinkUp app. It's free. What the heck? That's all for now, Driven Woman. I really want you to give yourself the gift of thinking better thoughts, because anything is possible when you believe in yourself. All right. I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman Podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.